You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to Humanitarian Radio. I'm your host, Janie Beauclair.
And I'm also your host, Tony St. Tone. Welcome to another week of good news for your soul. Today we definitely have a really great guest. You're going to really love him. Oprah seems to love him a lot. He is a culinary chef. He took a really interesting way to become a chef, and the story that he has is really amazing. I hope it encourages a lot of people out there to move forward and follow your passion. But before we get to that, we want to talk a little bit about what we did this past week.
We had a lovely week, actually. The band St. Tone got to go and perform at Agape Spiritual Center, which is Michael Beckwith's church. It was quite a phenomenal day, and it's always a beautiful thing when we get to interact with people in the city as well and do good things for the community.
Yep, it was for the Emerging Leader graduation, which is Clyde Terry heads that up. And basically what he does is he takes in people that are on parole or people that have just gotten out of jail, and he puts them through an 8-week course and changes their lives, literally. And we've been honored to perform, I don't know, probably 10 graduations so far, and they have an 80% success rate, which is unheard of across the country, of 80% of the people that have taken this course never go back to jail or never get in trouble with the law anymore. And I think it's just an incredible thing that he's doing, and we're very honored to be part of it every week.
They're actually, the entire country and even locations outside of the country are actually monitoring what Clyde is doing because he's having so much success. What I heard was that the second closest success rate was somewhere around Miami at 17%.
Wow.
And Clyde's at 80%. And yeah, what he's teaching them is just how to think for themselves. He's teaching them spirituality as well as being a free thinker, as well as, you know, you don't have to fit the mold that somebody else put you into. You're free to roam about the country. You're free to go wherever your mind wants you to go or wants to take you. And so that freedom thought is pulling them out of gangs and gang-related violence and, you know, following in others' footsteps when those others weren't necessarily good leaders for them.
Right. And I think what's really interesting is, you know, a lot of times people are a victim, if you will, of their environment. But what he shows is that you don't need to be a victim of your environment, that you can step out and you can do something different and for yourself. And it's really interesting, as these people graduate, they have to really adjust themselves because now they're speaking a different language because they've raised their vibration. And for them to go back and speak to the people that they used to hang out with, it might not resonate anymore because you're going to be speaking two different languages. But the good thing is that obviously the new language that they're speaking encourages others that they can step out and that they can do this also. They don't have to just be a victim. They can take control of their lives. So,
and something
that totally they support these guys.
Something they do is they actually help them get started in business. There's a couple of different groups that have come to the table, and they actually help these guys start their own companies because it is hard to get hired when you're a convicted felon. And not only is it hard, but a lot of times you've been in there for a while and you don't quite have skill anymore if you had it when you went in. So there's a lot of community that gets behind this organization, and it's really cool that we've been able to get behind them for probably 3-ish years now, I would say.
Oh yeah, at least. And you know, there's another company that we're going to actually have on the air real soon, and it's called Homeboy Industries.
Right.
And they only hire people that have come out of jail.
They're a bakery.
And what they do is they give these guys jobs, but also they help them to get back into society, and they have a tattoo removal service also that they provide, which is really unique because a lot of these guys get caught up in the gangs and they get these tattoos and then they come out and they don't want to be associated with those gangs any longer, but yet they have a tattoo. So this organization actually comes in there and helps with tattoo removal, which I think is phenomenal because, you know, when you're marked that way, it's hard to say, I'm just going to walk away from it.
Yeah, you don't always have that option.
Yeah, exactly. So that was a really great gig. It's always fun to do that.
Hey, and we had Mike Precise come on and do Cranky Pants with us.
Yes, and talking about Mike Precise, you know, he is still has his fundraiser moving forward. His eyesight has not gotten any better. If anything, he just came back from a doctor's appointment and he found that it's gotten worse. He found that he can't even read the big E on a chart. So when you look at an eye chart and the big capital letter E, he's having a very difficult time seeing that.
So if you can find your way to check out on humanitarianradio.com, $5 donation goes a long way. We've been able to raise close to $2,000 for him. We need to raise another $2,000 in order for him to get the surgeries that will stop the disease from going forward. And this is something that's absolutely 100% 2020 curable.
Curable.
All
that's the amazing thing.
Is some cash. So, you know, help us out, guys. Mikey's a really great guy. He's 28 years old. Got a long life ahead of him. Has beautiful things that he does for people all over the world. And he deserves to be able to see. And we should just help him.
Yeah. And you're going to get a chance to see Mike in action. I'm just putting the final touches on the song Cranky Pants on the video. And I filmed Mike in a park. And you'll see that everyone's actually in a playground park. But Mike did a great job, and I'm real excited to get this video out so you guys can actually see him and get an idea about the kind of guy he is. So
he's a lot of fun, I got to say.
He was a lot of fun to hang out with, and I'm real excited to just get this video out so you guys can check it out.
We got two other great things to talk about. One is that our old friend J-Rock Jones is in town.
J-Rock Jones. You might remember J-Rock Jones from my song Mama Said. He is on the video. And he is a hip-hop artist from Tampa, Florida. And I met him several years ago. And since then...
At a coffee shop.
I was playing a gig at a Starbucks, actually. And him and his buddy walked in. And they just started talking to me. And I started hanging out with them. And from there, we just started doing some collaborating. And I did a number of shows with him. But he is actually in town. And last night, he hung out with Dr. Dre.
At Dr. Dre's studio,
and he's working on a couple of songs with him, and we're going to meet up later today. But I'm just so excited that he's doing so well, because this is a guy that I believed in a while ago, and he has encouraged me, and he has told me several times that I've encouraged him, and all it is persistence, to just keep going towards that dream and don't stop. And I love following him on Facebook, because he's constantly doing new things. And when I met him, he was quite young, and he was just getting into this music business. And I have probably a good 10, 15 years on him. But the point is that I was just trying to tell him, no matter what, you got to just keep moving forward. You just can't expect it to be handed to you. And he has taken that advice and has run with it.
He credits you for it, too, which is really cool. For me, being, you know, an outsider, just watching you guys' relationship grow, it's cool to see the respect that you guys have for each other, even though you're from completely different worlds, doing completely different kind of music. Obviously, music unites and creates good friends.
So oh, yeah.
Congratulations to J-Rock.
Hey, what I'd like to do right now is take a moment to play Mama Said featuring J-Rock Jones. This is one of the first tracks that we did together off the World Radio 13 CD.
Mama said we can always find a way. Mama said we can always work it out if you want to. Mama said we can always find a way. Break out of worn out ways and find a compromise. Let go of ego and pride. Rock your body as solutions soon arrive. One more seek to find. Mama said we can always work it out if we want to, and Mama said we can always find a way if we choose to, and Mama said we can always work it out if we want to. Do you want to? Break out on worn out ways and isolate with pride. Embrace the choice to harmonize. will find its way to collaborate. Now don't rush to fail, succeed at a pace of time that's controlled by your hands. Be an individual, create your own plan. See, mama knows best, papa seen it all before. Granny just pray as I stayed in trouble, and now I stay humbly out of tussles. Put down my fist, let my brain be the muscle. Put down my fist, let my brain be the muscle. Down my fist. Rain, rain, yeah, rain is something that I share with sunny days. So pray, pray, yeah, pray. The perfect resolution's on its way. On its way. On its way. We can always work it out. Mama said we can always find a way. Mama said we can always find a way. Find a way. Find a way, find a way, find a way. Mama said,
Mama said,
Mama said,
Mama said.
Hey, once again, that was Mama Said featuring J-Rock Jones. You can find that track at www.sainttone.com.
So one of my favorite songs for sure, we actually got to play that song at President Obama's inauguration when he was the first round of presidency.
In 2009.
Yeah, and we got picked for the gig because of that song's lyrics that Mama said we could always work it out.
We used to say Obama said you could always work it out. But that song always seems to go over. I think every time we play it within the first verse, when we hit the second chorus, it's like, man, people are already singing. Yeah, they're singing along and clapping.
Sing along, clap along, dance along. Everybody's just getting along.
Always a fun track, and we always emphasize, put down my fist, let my brain be the muscle. Which is
line.
A track that a thing that J-Rock Jones came up with. And let me tell you, we liked it so much that we said it three times in there. You know, and put down my fist.
It's a powerful line. Yeah. And, you know, think about it. Put down your fist. Let your brain be the muscle. Yeah.
Yeah. Props to J-Rock Jones.
And I also want to congratulate the family of Jeffrey Patterson and Once Upon a Dream Productions. This past weekend, we did the performance at the International Family Film Festival. And that is in Hollywood. And it's a festival of family films, right?
Internationally. Well,
the guy that won, he went up to the podium and he says, "We couldn't find anything good for our children to watch TV on TV, so we decided to make family-friendly movies." And they literally started their own production company specifically to make good movies that were...
That the whole family can watch.
Yeah, that weren't, you know, didn't have a lot of swears, didn't have a lot of nudity, just good, clean fun, if you will.
Well, it wasn't surrounded by violence and everything else, like
right,
you know, some cop show
right.
on
and
ABC.
So these guys were recognized. They won two awards for two completely different movies in the festival, and I just wanted to applaud them. They are called Once Upon a Dream Productions. Check them out, because if you've got children or even grandparents that you like to watch movies with, these guys are putting out some really great positive stuff, some feel-good movies and stuff that you should go take a visit. We also want to congratulate Chris Shoemaker and his wife, Suzanne. They're the ones that created the International Family Film Festival. And this is their 19th year.
Yes. And, you know, I want to thank them also because they were the ones who encouraged us to move out here to California.
Yep, that's true.
We were flying out. We flew out. God, was it 6 years ago?
Many.
Yes. It might have been 6 years ago. Where we flew out to do 1 3-minute long medley. It wasn't even one song. It was a medley of three of my original songs. And since that day, we've been their official house band ever since.
Been performing every year ever since. But I wanted to congratulate them because they've put together a film festival that's really not like any other. Their films are all either made by kids. They go down, I wanted to say, to what, 5 years old, the youngest entry was this year. They do animation entries. And
they do documentaries.
Documentaries, right?
Yeah.
But everything is very positive and is very, very family geared. And I think these guys are the only ones in the world that actually have a family film festival. So bravo to them for keeping stern. Chris made a comment to me the other day saying, you know, I'm really proud of you guys, St. Tone, as a band he was talking about, because you stay true to who you are and you do not stray from what you believe in your lyrics and what you sing about. He said, my wife and I had to do the same thing when creating this film festival. We always had to stay true to who we were and what we wanted to see in films. Although we were tempted many, many times with money to do different type of film festival. And they were just applauding us for staying in the positive vein with our music, even though no one else has really hit that road yet. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. But when we get back, we're going to have Justin Chow of Les Bons Garçons. If you speak French, that means the good son. And wait till you hear Justin's story. He got picked by Oprah. And you know how hard that is to do. And this is just a young guy with a great attitude, has been through a lot of beautiful things in life. And we can't wait for you to meet him. We'll be right back. Do you have a great idea for a product and you don't know how to get it made? Call Artistic Journey. They'll help you find your way to getting your new products made and into the marketplace. Need a free consultation? No problem. Need artwork and graphics? No problem. Need your idea turned into something wonderful that the whole world can use? Call Janie at Artistic Journey to help you get through this process. It's not as hard as you think. With 20 years of experience, Artistic Journey can pave the way for your product to get into the hands of people around the world. Call Artistic Journey today, 941-780-2538.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. Cause I'm the ruler of this kingdom I call me.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician St. Tone. Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com.
Reinvent your life. Mama said we can always hug it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes.
We choose to end.
For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
And so we are back and so happy to have Justin Chow of Les Bons Garçons with us today. Pastry chef, renowned, one of Oprah's favorites. And let's talk to Justin. Hi, buddy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
So happy to have you today.
Thank you for having me.
How's your holiday season going? I know this is a time of year that's a little kooky for you.
Yeah, it's a little bit crazy, but I'm happy to have the business.
So tell people about the business that you're in.
So Les Bons Garçons is a French-style caramel company. Everything is made in small batches with fresh ingredients. And I went to culinary school in France and spent about a year learning pastry and especially chocolate and confections. So I actually ended up doing an internship with a famous caramel and chocolate maker in Paris named Jacques Chenin, and learned he was very secretive about what he did, but I kind of was able to
wiggle
learn
it out of him
by watching.
That's very interesting. So let me ask you, from what I understand, you didn't start off wanting to be a chef. You went to school for architecture. So just tell us how you made that transition.
Yeah, so I think I had a lot of pressure from my parents to actually become a doctor. And so it was difficult for me to kind of figure out what I wanted to do, because that was, ever since I was a kid, that was what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to be a doctor, so I never really thought about anything else.
Right.
So actually going into architecture was kind of a rebellious thing for me, because...
you were supposed to be a doctor.
Yeah, I was supposed to be a doctor. And so I actually ended up running into a high school classmate, and she was doing architecture. So she convinced me to somehow start taking a class, and then I loved it. And what I loved about it was working with my hands and making models and, being creative.
Right.
And then, but then I got out to the workplace, and then...
not so much fun.
Yeah, it was different because, the models, we weren't, it wasn't just about, kind of, being so free with your design. It was more about drafting and CAD design and making the client happy. And so I just, even though I liked what I was doing in architecture, I just kind of knew it wasn't
your passion
for me long term. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So I want to back up a second, because you had said how your parents wanted you to be a doctor. Now, were either one of them doctors?
No. Actually, my dad is an engineer, and my sister is actually a doctor.
Ah, so someone came through. Okay.
Yeah. So somebody, and my brother's a lawyer. So.
Oh, there you go.
So, okay.
So it's perfect. It's like, that's so funny. It's like, we need a doctor and a lawyer, and you got three kids. Okay, you guys got to fill these two slots. So at least you had two siblings to take care of that for you.
Yeah, so the pressure was off.
Perfect.
You know, the reason I asked that is because I know that my parents, especially my dad, he kept saying he wanted me to learn a trade or work for a big company. And I'm a musician, but I went to an art college, and so I got a bachelor's degree in fine arts as a graphic designer. And I did that for a number of years, and then
Rebel.
In Connecticut, I finally said, that's it, I'm moving to Florida to be a full-time musician, and that's what I did. So I did that for 11 years, and I came out here. So I still kept that in the background, but you have to be true to yourself, and you can only please your parents so much, because at the end of the day, you're the one going to work 9 to 5 going, I still don't like this.
Yeah, and I think the important thing is, whether it works out or not, it's having tried, what your passion is, and just knowing that, you've tried to be happy, that you've done everything that you can to make your life happy and fulfilled. And, I think without even, a lot of people are too scared to even try, and I think that's the sad part is, whether it works out or not, you never know what's going to come around the corner, but at least it's,
you've given it a try.
And then, you've given it a try.
And I always feel like, I've been one who's tried a lot of things throughout my life, and I'm really happy that I have, because even the things that didn't work out the way I thought they were going to work out always had some kind of a great lesson or a great experience attached to it in some way.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, even though architecture didn't work out for me and I tried a bunch of other things after, each step of the way, I feel like I brought me to where I am today.
I'm curious about that. So, because I'm sure if you did a study right now of how many people are doing what they went to school for, I'm not sure how high that number would be.
Yeah.
But what happened, again, because you're making a decision at 18 years old going, I want to do this for the rest of my life. And nowadays, people change careers as often as they used to change jobs. So, you could be an accountant one day and then a lawn service the next day. I know a guy who
he had a limousine service in New York City, and he had like, you know, 15 limousines, and he became a garbage man. And he was thrilled to become a garbage man because he said, he goes, they get paid so well, and he was on a waiting list for 4 years to be a garbage man.
From a limo service.
From a limo service. He owned a limousine service.
That's a career switch.
That's a career switch. But, I guess the question is, like, you did try other things, so it's like, here you are, you're an architect going, all right, this isn't fulfilling me. What else am I passionate about? And did you easily slip into pastry chef, or did you said you found other things?
Oh, no.
I tried a lot of different things. I, you know, worked for a lawyer for a while, and then I was working for .com, and that was big. I did all sorts of things, and then I ended up working with my family, which, you know, I think that, you know, it brought me down to L.A. back from San Francisco.
Right.
And, but it just, that just didn't quite work out either. So I was just kind of lost for a really long time because I kind of had pigeonholed myself into having somewhat of like an office job or...
Right. Structured.
And so I ended up taking a cooking class randomly because my brother wanted to take it. He wanted somebody to take it with. So we ended up taking this class for 6 months out in Ventura County. And at the end, I loved it. And it was something that I really connected with.
Yeah.
But what happened was, is I, you know, my parents were actually separating at this time. And so it kind of, that's kind of what propelled me to leave the family business. So I ended up going to business school. And so I was in business school. I was just starting business school, and the teacher was telling me, you know, from this cooking class that she thought that I had some real talent and that I should pursue this. But, you know, I had already paid my tuition, and I was planning on spending the next 2 years in business school.
Right.
But I went ahead and went to business school, and that was, you know, another try at trying to find something that I might like, but I just didn't fit in there. And then, so after I graduated business school, I said, okay, I'm just going to give this a shot. I'm going to, you know.
Go for it.
Yeah, go for it. I want to start a business, and I want to start it in something that I love. Mm-hmm. Because you have to spend so much time doing it. You might as well do it in something that you like.
Absolutely.
So,
and at least this helped you out as far as you were in business school. So now when you got the opportunity to launch your own business, it made sense since you had the foundation.
Yeah, so even business school, even though I didn't really connect with, you know, what they were trying to teach me,
I
ended up doing an exchange program in Paris during business school. Mm. And then so that got me back to
where your heart was.
Yeah, exactly. I just felt really at home there. So I said, okay, I've got to find out a way to get back here.
How long were you there?
So I was there during business school. I was there for 4 months, and then I spent an additional year after business school
there. Very so, nice.
Do you speak French?
Yeah. It's a little rusty now. I had to speak French. Actually, when I went to France, I thought I knew how to speak French, and then I got there and started working in a kitchen and realized that I had no idea what these people were saying.
You're like, this isn't the French I learned in school, or Rosetta. Rosetta Stone didn't teach me those words.
Yeah, no, Rosetta Stone didn't teach me this. Not these words, not kitchen French.
Nice.
So, all of the bad words he learned in his first job in France and Paris.
So you're in France. You do Paris. You're Paris, France. You're working with this chef who's a very well-known chef. You start picking up on his secrets, if you will, because he's very secretive about his way of making. Was he making pastries or candy, or what were you making over there?
Yeah, so he had actually just transitioned from being like a wholesaler chocolatier to having a retail store. And so then he did, so he was doing pastries and chocolates and caramel. But what drew me to him was his caramel, because I had, you know, being in Paris, I would just spend the weekends kind of wandering around looking for
food.
I would seriously wake up early on Saturday morning and then just walk in whatever direction and just eat the whole day.
Nice. I spent a few days in Paris. I can understand that completely.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah. And so I, you know, I went to this hotel called Hotel Maurice and had tea there. It was like a little tart. And they brought out these caramels with the bill. And so then I just like immediately fell in love with this caramel. And then I decided right then that I was going to go and work for Hotel Maurice, which is the wrong place. They didn't make the caramels. But so I discovered that later once I started working for Hotel Maurice, that they don't actually make the caramels and that they actually buy it from this other guy. So Chat Jinan was actually my second internship there.
That's really fascinating. That
it's like you fall in love with this caramel. You're like, okay, I have to track this down. You know, I have to track down this caramel and who made it and how it's made. But I can see how this all pieces together and how we end up with you connecting with Oprah. So that's why I'm following your journey, and it's quite the journey that you've taken to get there. I mean, but it seems like you've learned things along the way. And I wanted to share a story with you right in the middle of what you're saying. Is I had a friend of mine who wanted to be a landscaper, and his wife-to-be did not want him to be a landscaper. She wanted him to be an accountant. So he went and became an accountant for 3 or 4 years, and sure enough, they got a divorce. And right after that, he became a landscaper, and he said, you know what? He goes, at least now I can do my own books. I understand all the accounting and start my own business. So it worked out better for him.
It's important. Yeah, it's important, because that was what, when I first started my business, I had no idea what I was doing as far as bookkeeping and that type of stuff.
Right. Now it makes more sense to you. That's why it's like this journey that you took seems like, why did it go the roundabout way? It's like, no, these are all the things that you need to learn along the way to get to this point to make you who you are.
Yeah.
That's my point. There's no waste of time.
Definitely done that.
So how did you get the attention of Miss Oprah Winfrey and get on her favorite things list? I mean, that's not an easy thing to accomplish.
Well, hold on. We just left him in Paris.
Well, yeah, he had to come back.
Oh, so he's coming back. So you're back from Paris. I was going to clarify that.
Yeah, okay. So I'm back from Paris. And so I start working for a downtown LA restaurant called Water Grill. And so, in the meantime, I'm making my caramels at home. Since I never got a recipe from the pastry chef that I worked for, I was working on it at home and just experimenting. And I to be honest, some of the caramels I made were just awful.
Not so much.
The first ones were really bad.
Well, I can say you've improved dramatically because I love them.
And I found that as soon as I got to a place where I thought it was good, I just said, okay, I'm just going to start giving these out to friends because, all of a sudden I had all these caramels around the house. Mm-hmm. So I started giving them out. And then one day I went with my mom to a play at the Broad Stage in Santa Monica.
Right.
And so we met up with some friends who happened to know the director of the Broad Stage. And so then they gave the caramels to the director of the Broad Stage, and she loved them. And then that was the first place where I started selling was the Broad Stage.
Wow.
And so that was kind of like my entry into the marketplace.
Now, while you were making these caramels, were you thinking of starting a business selling these, or were you just making them because it was a passion?
I wanted to start a business because I knew how, it was a unique product in LA at least, because I'd never seen anything quite like it here.
Right.
So I knew that I wanted to do something with it, but it just kind of, I didn't know exactly how it was going to work out. And so it was just, and I didn't know how to start. When you just have a product, I just didn't know exactly where to go with it. But then what happened was I started doing these I guess you call them craft shows, mm-hmm. or like food shows, artisanal food shows. So I did a show called Unique LA. I did a show called Artisanal LA. And then I think that's actually, I actually don't know for sure how Oprah's people found me. But I think it was through, they must have been a scout through Artisanal LA or something like that, because I just got a random email from one of the editors asking for samples. And they said, okay, well, you know, you're in the running to be in the Oprah's, you know, in the holiday gift guide. Can you send us, it was like, I mean, I got the email at like 1 p.m. or something like that. And they said, but we need it by tomorrow morning. So I rushed home, got together a package, and, you know, barely made it to FedEx and sent it off. And, you know, they just, you know, then they had to get approvals from, you know, all sorts of people. So I kept sending them caramels. I said, oh, my
gosh.
That's
not what they needed. They just loved them.
I love that line. We need more samples. These went.
Send about 50 more, will you?
We're not quite sure yet, but send a couple more. Yeah. I've heard that line.
So what was going through your head all this time? Were you thinking, oh, they're going to pick me? Or were you thinking, I don't have a chance? Or what were you thinking?
I was just thinking, you know, I'm just going to try this and see what happens. And I didn't realize that it would be the big deal that it was. Because I wasn't on the show, I was in the magazine. So I thought, okay, well, that's a great placement. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize, you know, that it was...
How great it would be.
Yeah, how great it was.
Like, actually, people listen to what Oprah thinks, you're saying? Like,
I guess I'm a little bit naive that way. I don't know.
You're like, what makes this woman so special? Why are her taste buds so much better than anyone else's? It's like, if Oprah likes it, then everybody likes
it. Yeah.
Hey, in this case, that's fabulous.
I just figured because she had just finished up her show, and so I figured, oh, you know, it's the magazine, so it's print. It's not going to be the same thing. And I probably, you know, I'm sure it wasn't as big as featured them on a show or something like that. But it was a huge boost for me.
So what happened? How did they notify you? And did you fall off your chair?
Because what I'm curious of is, at this point, when they're asking you for samples, do you already have your business established? Are you already selling these? Or are you still like testing the waters with different arts and crafts shows?
So at this point, yeah, I'm still kind of testing the waters with arts and crafts shows. And I have my website up and I just switched over to my new packaging because I was doing it, like when I started the Broad Stage, I was doing it in these like Chinese takeout boxes with stickers on them.
Right. Okay.
And so I took one step up and was hand stamping them. And so it was everything. It was still at that point very labor intensive, packaging and everything, because everything was, I didn't have enough business to really start, you know, printing, you know,
putting out money
really
to get
expensive.
All that done.
Right. I gotcha.
So, you know, I was still in this handmade, very, you know, handcrafted, very, you know, very small scale.
Homegrown.
Yeah, I mean, making stuff in like 8 to 10 pound batches. Yeah, homegrown.
Yeah.
And then all this business started coming in, and I got the call that I was going to be in there, and I was thinking, oh no, what do I do now?
That's scary.
Ready, set, go.
That's a scary thing. I can imagine you're doing 8 to 10 pounds. Next thing you know it, you're in O magazine, and Oprah says she likes your candy. You're going, oh no, now everyone's going to start calling, and
I mass produce this.
Yeah,
I got really overwhelmed really quickly because I just needed to make tons of this candy. And I called in my mom, she helped me out, and my friends, and I really couldn't have done it without them. Because, you know, even working, you know, probably 7 days a week, probably 16 hours a day, I would just wake up, start working, and work until I went to sleep. Even with all that work, you know, it was really hard for me to keep up, and I was lucky to really have people that supported me and that would, you know,
stand up with you. Yeah.
Was it hard because, and here's what I'm curious of, you know, you've dialed in this certain ingredients and you know how to make it within an 8 and 10 pound batch, but now you have to up your ante. Are you making these still in 8 to 10 pound batches, like at everyone's house, or are you trying to make like bigger, like higher volume?
Yeah,
like
so
30
pounds? I was able to, luckily, I kind of knew this was, you know, I thought, oh, well, if the possibility came down the line, then, you know, I need to start scaling up. So I went from 8 to 10 pound batches to maybe like 15 to 20, and which is still not very big, but 15 to 20 pound batches. So I scaled up twice.
Yeah.
But so that helped me, but it wasn't, I mean,
it's still a lot of labor.
It's just still a lot of work.
Any way you cut it, you're doing it all by hand.
Well, is caramel something that you cook? I don't know. I'm totally clueless.
Yeah, caramel, it's very labor intensive. It's, the way I make it is I caramelize the sugar until it gets nice and brown and flavorful, and then I add the cream and the butter and all that stuff. But once that goes in, you've got to stir, because otherwise it scorches. And so,
it's almost like making butter where you can't stop stirring.
Yeah, you just can't stop. So I had my whisk going, and I just, you know, I would stir and stir and stir for like, you know, 45 minutes to an hour.
Good God.
And then it finally comes up to temperature.
We're both going, oh my God.
But, you know, I mean, that's what makes it taste good. It's the hand, it's like that hand labor
labor of love.
Yeah, the labor of love, and, you know, that's why it was so smooth. And
you don't put preservatives in it. I mean, it's all yummy, good for you, fabulous caramel.
Yeah, yeah, that's I try to keep true to what I learned in France by using fresh ingredients and, you know, just stuff that's natural and that's
well, I have to tell you a little something. You know, you and I did a job together last year for one of my clients, and I had probably about 10 caramels left over out of the, I don't know how many thousands you did for me. But I let one of my girlfriends taste it. And the other night we were out for dinner, and I said that I was going to have you on the show. And she goes, well, let me just tell you, there's not anybody in this world who has caramel better than that caramel you gave me last year, and it was yours. And I said, that's the guy who's going to be on our show. But see, she's like, let me just tell you, I don't care who's going to be on your show. That caramel you gave me last year, there's never going to be anything better than that.
That's what I love hearing. That's why I do what I do.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it's great. I love going to these shows and seeing how people react to tasting it, and, you know, just being able to talk to them about, you know, kind of what they like and some of their experiences in Europe and, you know, their experience with French pastry. I love being able to talk to people about
that. The caramel that we did in the project that you and I did went to 24 countries. And
oh my gosh.
The client had rave reviews all the way around, hands down, from everybody that they gave them to. So it was
smashing success.
You didn't realize that you were already around the world. You've been around the world.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah, well, thanks, Gina.
Yeah.
So where are you at now? I mean, like, you know, you start your business within the first year. You're in Oprah Magazine. Calls start coming in. Where are you now with the caramel business?
And
yeah, I mean.
Yeah, so everything is, you know, I'm now making them in larger batches, and I've scaled up, you know, my production, and I have a kitchen, my own kitchen out in Ventura County.
Nice.
In Moore Park, and I'm just growing my business. You know, I'm starting to do more wholesale and, you know, just learning about how to market myself, and it's fun because I've never stopped learning about my product. I mean, even just making the product, you know, you kind of think that you have something perfected, but then you find a better way of doing things. And I always feel like I'm just learning to, you know, just to, I'm continually improving my business and my product. So I'm growing and I'm happy, and things have normalized a bit, so I'm not as crazy as I used to be.
Right. But, have you gotten a chance to send any of your karma back to your mentor?
No.
Scared?
I haven't, actually. I don't think he'd want to see the karma because he was so secretive. I don't think he'd want to.
He'd be like, this guy's tastes just like mine.
I don't think he'd want to taste it. I think he, I asked him actually one time to show me how to make it, but he just, you know, and I don't blame him because that's his way of making a living. So,
And I'm sure yours is a little different because you put your own love into it.
Right. And it's a different twist at stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think I just started with an idea and I'd start knowing kind of what the process was, but not knowing what the proportions were or anything like that.
Right.
And since then, I've changed the recipe a lot, you know, just personalizing it. And it just, you know, that's how it is with a product. It just kind of evolves.
Are you looking to expand on it? Meaning, like, are you looking to try your hand at chocolates also or different types of candies and stuff? Or are you just sticking to caramel and
well, for the meanwhile, I'm just going to stick to caramel, but I think I would like to, you know, be able to do other things just to, you know, because I like to experiment in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And so I have this wonderful equipment that I can use, you know, this big copper pot, and I would really like to start making other products. But I think at the moment, right now, I'm just kind of figuring out how, like, I just recently bought a wrapping machine. It's this old, we call her Big Bertha.
Nice.
Red wrought iron 1960s wrapping machine. So,
cool. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, I love working with that machine because it used to, I mean, that used to be take
that's
the bulk
how they
of my
did
time
it.
With hand wrapping.
Yeah, that's how they did it back in the day. That's, you know, and that's great that you can revive an old machine like that and, you know, put it back to work again. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it took a long time because I had to find somebody to help me out. And because it's such an old machine,
it's not like you can get parts for it. Not like you can get parts for it anywhere easily.
No, it's like parts have to be made and machined. And it's challenges like that that have held me back from really developing other products because, you know, as easy it is for me to get distracted by doing other things and, you know, because I love pastry in general. I mean, I love making croissants and macaroons and all that type of stuff, and I would do all of that if I could, but I have to keep myself disciplined and really see the caramel through before I start experimenting with other things.
I think a caramel macaroon would be on the top of my Christmas list.
Yeah,
me. That's my two favorite things. Blend them together as one. Oh my God!
There you go. You heard it here first, people. You know what I want to say is I want to encourage all of our listeners that if you have a passion that you want to follow, just do what Justin did. Follow it through and see what happens. Take that chance and take that risk, and you never know where you're going to end up and how it's going to turn out until you actually take that step forward. And also along with his journey, how he took different paths to find out where he's at, the only way he could have gotten there was to take the chance and move forward. For all we know, he could have been an architect right now and would have never had this caramel, and none of this would have happened if he didn't just have the courage to move forward. So I encourage everybody to
take that
follow
leap.
Your bliss and just move forward. Take that chance.
Interestingly, Justin, I saw on your Facebook something that's just perfectly appropriate and right in line with how Tony and I feel. It says, follow your dreams no matter how big they are. Fall in love, be generous, and truthful. inspire someone, take chances, and be spontaneous. Make friends wherever you go. Create happiness. This is your life. Make it beautiful. I loved this when I saw that. I was like, wow, that's just perfectly said. Perfectly said.
Thank you. Yeah, I love that. I think it really kind of, you know, it's hard to kind of to stick with your, I guess, I'm not sure how to phrase this, but it's kind of, sometimes it's just, life gets so stressful, and sometimes you just need to remind yourself what's important.
Yes, well said.
And I think that's perfectly, that quote perfectly sums it up in a lot of ways.
Exactly. Well, I want to thank you so much as being a guest today and for actually encouraging all of our listeners.
And Justin, tell people how they can find you and do some Christmas shopping with you this year.
Yes, so you can find me online at LeBonGarçon.com. That's www.LeBonGarçon.com. You can also call us at 424-272-6677, or you can always look us up on Facebook at our LeBonGarçon Facebook page, or Twitter at LeBonGarçon.
Excellent. And all that information is going to be on the page that you're listening to this also on. So again, Justin, keep doing what you're doing. I know that Janie wants to see that. What was it again? A macaron?
Macaroon. Caramel macaroon.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that would be. I think that's pretty genius, actually.
Yes.
You started it.
Send the first one to Janie. Send the samples her way. She'll let you know if you dial it in.
Yeah, I might have to get my committee to try them out, wink, wink. You might have to send more samples.
Okay. Well.
And then next time we have you on, you're going to be like, yes, and we did an interview, and then this took
all
off.
All of a sudden on Humanitarian Radio, I started getting requests for 10,000.
Yeah. Caramel macarons. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. I'll keep that in mind. I'll have to figure out a way to do it.
Beautiful. Well, I'll be your guinea pig any day. Even the bad ones will be delightful, I'm sure.
Well, I love making macaroons, so I just haven't quite done the caramel macaroons before, but I think I could figure out a way to do it.
Architecturally, I think you can pull this off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
That is your challenge, and come back with success. That's what, you know, the next time we have you on, you'll be...
He'll be on the cover of Forbes magazine with his macaroon caramel.
Selling those.
I love it.
Yeah, you never know what's coming around the corner, right?
All right, darling. Exactly. Well, it was great to have you on the show, and we'll definitely check in with you again. And listen, everybody, support Justin and do some shopping with him. You will not regret it.
So every week we like to take the time out to dedicate a song to our guest, and this week is no different. And the song I chose is Reinvent Your Life. And when you listen to Justin's story, it sounds like he reinvented his life several times. But now he has finally found something that he's truly passionate about. And I really encourage everyone to do the same. Regardless of how old you are, it's never too late to change. So this is Reinvent Your Life by Saint Tone.
Change on. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? Are you happy with life? ships at night, praying for a better life, trying to find a way to make it work. Came into this world born like eagles fly. It's time to spread your wings to reinvent your life.
Once again, that was Reinvent Your Life by Saint Tone. You can find that track at www.sainttone.com. That's SAINTTONE.com. Also find us on Facebook. And while you're on Facebook, please like Humanitarian Radio for us. I want to thank Justin again for his caramels, because they're amazing. If you ever get a chance to check them out, do so, because you'll never go back to a different caramel again.
And don't forget, 'tis the season. It's the season, and a lot of people take this time of year to do things for strangers. And I want to say that although they need it all times of the year, yes, they do need some extra things at Christmas time, extra blankets, pillows, hats, anything that you have extra that can keep bodies warm. Be sure you give them to your Salvation Armies or Red Crosses or whoever organization that you believe is doing what they ought to do. And we'd like to just say, do good things for somebody that you don't know. Make a complete stranger smile and make it a great week. Humanitarian Radio, signing out.
See you next week. Peace.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.